Welcome, everybody, to episode number 80.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. Now, whether you have a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a great big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, a towable, even if you dry camp out of your car or tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, this show is for you. Because we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, and we share a lot of tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking the Podcast is all about, the RV lifestyle. This episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri, and their partner dealerships Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. By Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. And Verizon, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Well, welcome everybody to episode 80 of the Road Trekking RV Podcast. We have had a great time in the past week as we've been on the road. You know, and we've got some great stuff to talk about here today. You know, the things we're going to focus on today is the things that RVers wish, and you, those of you who are veteran RVers, you know exactly what I'm talking about, the things that you wish somebody told you before you started RVing. We were at the recent Family Motor Coach Association Family Reunion Rally in Perry, Georgia last week. A great, great gathering there. About 2,200 motorhomes were there, about 5,000 people. We got to meet a lot of people, and we talked to a whole bunch of RVers. And that's the question we asked them. We talked to couples and solos and full-timers and weekend warriors, and we asked them all to share the most important things they learned from their life on the road. And I think you'll find it really fun and interesting and be nodding along and probably taking some notes. Plus, we got lots of RV news. We've got some tips that you're going to like about making sure you never forget what to do in your RV on a trip. And yeah, we got an off-the-road beaten path and lots more stuff, all that coming up, plus a lot of questions from you listeners. But first of all, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
It's a little bit cooler than it was where we were last weekend when we recorded episode 79.
It's okay. It's nice out there.
It's nice out there. The temperature is 48 degrees in Michigan right now. A week ago, it was 75. Wow. Where we were down on the Emerald Coast of Florida.
I like it a little cooler. It works for me.
I don't know if you like 49. You're just being nice and positive and optimistic.
No, it's beautiful out there. Spring's in the air.
It is beautiful. And as we were traveling up, we found it had traveled about 300 miles in the 10 days when we went down. It was the first sign of spring was in Huntsville, Alabama. And as we came up, there were trees blooming in Cincinnati, so it's moving up.
It'll be
really
in Michigan.
Good. Yep, it's coming up to Michigan. Of course, we're not going to be here long. We're only here for a week, right?
That's true.
Boy, that was fun down in Perry, Georgia, with the Family Motor Coach Association last week.
It was very relaxing.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous venue for such a large gathering at the Georgia Agri Center in Perry, Georgia. Boy, they know how to organize a big RV, a gathering, don't they?
There are lots of little communities and comfortable.
Yeah, that's a great word for it. It was very comfortable. I mean, the spot we had was just awesome. It was like in a park.
It was. Yeah. I felt a little wicked. It was so nice.
Yeah, it was very nice. And we had fun. We met a lot of you. We did two seminars while we were down there. We got a chance to shake hands and sit down and visit with many of you. A bunch of road trekkers were there. There were, I think, 40 different road trek rigs there, 80 people or so. And we got a chance to visit with many of them and had a lot of fun. And then our favorite part after we've done socializing and doing our seminars is we got to walk around, look at the marketplace, all the vendors they have. And you got a lot of stuff out of that.
I always have fun looking at the things they have to tempt us.
Yeah. So we'll share some of that stuff we found in future episodes. And but they always put on a great gathering. If you've never been to an FMCA event and you have a motorhome, you want to definitely put that on your bucket list. The next one's coming up in, I think it's August in Springfield, Massachusetts, near Boston. So they'll be on the East Coast, the next big FMCA gathering. So.
Even if you don't own an RV, it's a good place to go to learn a whole bunch of workshops.
Yes, that's, you know, I never, and the workshops, the seminars, that's really worth going for. So
do your homework ahead of time instead of us after on the road while driving there.
Yeah. We left Bo at home and everybody wanted to know about our puppy Bo and our daughter, who was the instigator of the surprise birthday present to us. That's what Bo was. They surprised us with a 10-week-old puppy we didn't expect. Anyway, our daughter took care of him, and I think he's a little better behaved.
He is much better behaved. They have a nice fenced-in yard, and they have a dog, and he got to play and have a good time. So Bo is better off for his visit.
Yeah, they got to get rid of all that puppy energy. But he was not with us on the trip. He did have all the rest of his shots today. We got back, we're recording this on Tuesday, the 22nd of March, and we got back late Monday night.
Got back yesterday.
Yes, yesterday. We probably shouldn't talk about it, but we did not follow my 3:30 rule.
We followed it.
Oh,
3:30.
Yeah.
We stopped at 3:30.
Yeah, 3:30 in the morning.
That's because I ate chocolate.
You know, everybody, I didn't put that on the blog or on the Facebook list. I noted, I confessed to everybody. I promised them, you know, we did this whole seminar about the way we travel. And we talked about our 3:30 rule, which is don't go any more than 330 miles or stop before 3:30 in the afternoon. And I promised I'd give full disclosure on our way home. While our way home, we stopped and did a couple things that we didn't plan on doing. And so we were late. We didn't leave till Sunday night. And we drove from 6:30 Sunday night till 3:30 Monday morning. And that's because you were a machine behind the wheel because you ate chocolate.
Yeah, I intentionally ate chocolate. I would never do that at home because I'd be up all night. I'm very sensitive to caffeine. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink Coke.
Tell everybody how much chocolate you had. Because
I had one chocolate.
One of those candy. Little round chocolate, what are they? There's
truffle. I had a chocolate truffle.
One.
She had two.
She had one. And she drove till 3:30 in the morning. And anyway, and then we was 1,000 miles from where we were. We actually went back down to Florida after Perry. And then we drove all the way home, and we drove halfway home that first night, and then halfway home yesterday.
And I know you'll pay for it the next day and the day after that, but when the roads are clear like that, there's not much traffic, and if you are awake, it's a nice time to travel.
The roads were just gorgeous.
We got through Nashville,
Nashville, Huntsville, Montgomery, and no traffic, no problems anywhere along the line. It was great.
We didn't stop and visit a friend in Huntsville because we didn't think she'd appreciate us at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, Lisa, if you're listening to this, Lisa Gruner, you're one of our favorite people that we meet on the road, and we would have stopped to visit you in Huntsville, Alabama, but it would have been about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we didn't think that was probably a good thing to do. Okay, Jennifer, you ready to go to work?
I am.
All right.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
This week, my tip of the week comes from a listener who followed one of my tips from a few weeks ago. I ran into her at the just concluded Family Motor Coach Association rally down in Perry, Georgia. When she showed me what she had, I just knew you'd want to know about it too. So here it is. Meet Nadine Parker, who shares a way to easily clean up a slow cooker or a crock pot.
All right, here we are, and I am with
Nadine Parker.
And you are from?
Columbus, New Jersey.
And you followed one of my tips.
I did.
And now you've got a tip you're giving me.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
I really enjoyed your tip for a slow cooker, which fits in the sink. I got the right size, and I love it. However, I found slow cooker liners. And if you use those, you put them into the slow cooker. You put everything in you want to cook. You cover it up, and then you plug it in and turn it on. You have to put the stuff in first. And when you're finished with it, you can throw it away, and you do not have a pot to clean.
Oh, that that is the best tip in the whole world, because even when I'm at home using my slow cooker, cleaning out the inside, and I normally try to put olive oil or something in there so that things don't stick, but it doesn't take long, it seems, and things are building up inside, and boy, does that save you a lot of work. I think I'm even going to use this at home when I use my crock pot.
Well, I bought this slow cooker specifically for our van, and that's where it's going to live. I do have slow cookers at home, and I've never used these at home, but you're right, I might try it.
This will save us a lot of work.
Not only does it make it easier, but if you're boondocking and you really need to save on your water, you don't need to wash it, so it takes no water at all.
And this says no mess and PDA free. Slow cooker liners for fast, easy cleanup with no soaking or scrubbing. Yay! Okay, it says it's PDA free. Now, what exactly does that mean?
Well, it means that it doesn't leach out any chemicals that aren't good for you into your food.
That's really good to hear. I know there's a lot of things that are PDA free.
Yes.
Water containers and different things. So good. Nothing but good.
And it doesn't stick to the bottom. It's just like you just put it in and it just pulls right out. You do need to wait for it to cool down a little, so when you pull it out, you don't burn yourself.
Thank you for that tip. So that's my tip for today. Thanks to Nadine, and we will put a link to it on our show notes.
We found slow cooker liners on Amazon made by Reynolds, the same people who make aluminum foil. These liners are made of heat-resistant nylon and designed to make slow cooker cleanup fast and easy. They are safe and PDA-free. You can get a 4-pack of 4 each or 16 total liners for about $11.
All right. I'll put a link to all of that on our show. We had a lot of wind noise in that. That's what everybody heard. And I still think they could hear Nadine's info. That was really fun. Wasn't it fun to find somebody who followed one of your tips and then added to your tips?
Yeah, that was. That sounds like we were in the middle of a tornado or something.
And it wasn't that windy.
No, it wasn't that windy. Must have just hit the microphone just right.
Well, what happened is I forgot to bring my normal podcast recorder. And so I had to pick up a new recorder, and that new recorder was not nearly as good. But anyway, hopefully you heard it all. That was fun. So our show notes page, just go to roadtrekking.com/80. Scroll down under Jennifer's tip and you'll see it. And we'll put a link to the show code, the slow cooker bag. So a great tip.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. One of our listener RV questions of the week.
Actually, before we hit a question, this is some information that one of our listeners named Jim called in. And this is of great interest to anybody who is traveling north to south or south to north along I-69 or up in Indiana in that area. So Jim offers this.
Hey Mike, this is Jim. Hey, I just want to let everybody know out there that the I-69 is now open between just south of Bloomington, Indiana, on Highway 37, all the way down to Evansville now. So the new stretch of road that was between Highways 231 and 37 is now open. Construction between Bloomington and Martinsville, Indiana, on Highway 37 is all right. I've had my fifth wheel up and down the road a few times, so it's not too awful rough. Even though it is down to single lanes in some spots, it's fairly wide and negotiable. But for those folks there trying to make their way down western Indiana, I-69 between Bloomington and Evansville is now fully open. Take care.
That's a great tip. We noticed, by the way, I-75 is now open along the Kentucky-Tennessee border. It had been closed for a couple of weeks because of a rock slide, but they have reopened that now, so that makes it easier. A lot of returning snowbirds. And then I thought traffic, like you said, on I-65, we took that all the way up from Florida, was in great shape. From Alabama, we took it up.
Yeah.
I love saying the name Alabama. I think I'd like to almost live there.
Would you like to live there?
Well, not in the summer. Thank you. Alabama, but it's a great name. This rolls off your tongue.
I like Bama.
Bama, yeah. Okay. Now, let's hit some of your questions. Here's Tom.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. I remember hearing on a recent podcast or seeing on a blog post that you all travel with a Cuisinart griddler. I'm interested to know what kinds of things you cook on it, and especially to know if you do any baking. If you do bake, what kinds of things do you bake, and how does it perform for you? Look forward to hearing your answer. Thanks a lot.
Well, we love the griddler. I don't think it's for baking. At least if it is, we're not sure how you would do it. We got ours to replace our George Foreman grill we used to have. It broke when it fell off an uneven surface that Mike was resting it on while cooking a late meal one evening, and that's a totally different story.
All right.
It works as a contact grill, a panini press, a full grill, a full griddle, and a half grill, half griddle. You can cook eggs, burgers, and all kinds of steak, poultry, fish, pancakes, bacon. It's very easy to clean, and we use ours in our RV and at our home as well. We'll put a link to the griddler on our show notes page of this episode for those interested in checking it out. But again, as far as using it for traditional baking, I'm not sure how that would work. That's what we use our convection oven and our microwave for.
Yeah, I guess you could. I don't think you could bake in it. I don't know how it would work. I don't know. And we don't do much baking at all.
No, we're trying to just eat fresh fruit.
Yep, trying
not
to
bake.
Eat healthy. And it's a good thing. You know, the one thing that I noticed that you have baked that is really good is an apple.
It is good. You just take an apple, core it, put some stevia, cinnamon, water, bake it in the oven for about 45 minutes at 350, and it satisfies your craving for sweets.
It's just an amazing thing. You would think that just an apple, and that stevia, you only put a couple of drops of that.
A couple drops.
Yeah, at the most. And then a little cinnamon on it.
A lot of cinnamon.
But it is so good. It tastes like an apple.
You wrap it up in aluminum.
Well, there you go. So there's one. This is a free recipe tip from Jennifer.
If you want to cut back on some calories.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it. Okay, more listener questions. A lot of you are calling in this week. Here's another one.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. My wife and I are in the midst of configuring our own Sprinter Class B RV. And I've long been concerned about noisy air conditioners. I noticed from your video tour of your current road trek that you do not have an on-the-roof air conditioning system that most RVs have. Could you please give us some details about how your system is installed, where the components are located, but most importantly, whether you think that the air conditioner that you now have is noticeably quieter than the air conditioners you've had in previous RVs. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, I think Road Trek ought to make a video. They ought to hoist it up and then get a camera and show exactly how it's mounted. And of course, then I suppose the competition would copy, wouldn't they?
Well, the
competition wants to copy, they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But it would answer questions for folks.
I think I've got one of our videos early on about it. Maybe not, because we weren't really allowed to talk about it for a while because we were sort of one of the test cases to see how well that air conditioner worked. But it's now available. Anybody can get one that way from Road Trek, at least. I don't know about anybody else that's making them. But it's underneath. It's mounted not on the roof. The reason they removed it from the roof was because our entire roof on the Road Trek CS Adventurous XL we have is covered with solar panels. We have 650 watts of solar panel, always trickle charging into the house batteries. It's a great system. But what do you do with the air conditioner? Because you got to have an air conditioner. So they mounted it underneath. It's on the driver's side rear, the compressor and the fan. And I had a lot of people who saw it at the rally we were just at in Georgia, and they wanted to know, and I had several people ask me the question, well, how much dirt and road grime gets on it? And really none. I've looked at it a couple of times. I have no problems with dirt or road grime. I think that the water actually cleans it off a little bit, as you know, from the road.
I have been curious about that myself, how it can function with all that dirt and mud and stones. But
we had it on a lot.
We did.
And it was very warm there during the days. And we in Perry, Georgia last week. And so we came in and turned that thing on and it cooled it right off. It's really efficient. However, I will say, I don't think it's any quieter, do you, than the other ones that we had?
I don't think so.
It's noisy. I mean, you know, you're in a van, you're in a 23, 24 foot vehicle, and you know, we run it pretty warm to cool it down, and that's a lot of noise from an air conditioner. So I can't notice any noise difference than we had with the roof mounted one. And you still do, you hear the fan underneath That doesn't seem as bad, but the fan of the air conditioner on the inside is very loud as it blows out that air.
I don't think it's that bad. It doesn't bother me that much. I think the older models with their old-fashioned generators make a lot of noise.
The generators, the older units with regular generators. Oh,
and
my gosh.
Air pollution.
Yeah. Air pollution. Yeah, so that's what we have. The Road Trek, they have a under hood generator, and of course we have all those lithium ion batteries, so we don't have to worry about a generator. Oh, we got plenty of power. But the air conditioner, it is noisy. You know, they're all noisy. I've never heard one that isn't, but it works great being mounted underneath like that. So hope that answered your question. And let's go. We got one more question.
I'm interested in your opinion on what kind of outdoor alarm system I could get for my Road Trek. I had someone try to break into it last year. They didn't get in, but they broke the door, and I'd like a loud kind of alarm, and one that has the system on the key ring also. So I was just wondering if you have anything that you use. Thank you.
Bye. Well, I'm glad they didn't get anything. We were broken into a year ago, and they got everything. They did indeed. And so we're kind of paying attention to this burglar alarm system right now. Just a couple of weeks ago, we did a post on the blog, and I even did a video on a system that we're now using partially in our RV. It's called the Canary system. And that's just a couple of podcast episodes ago that you can, it was even a separate video. So just go on roadtrekking.com and you can do this search for Canary, like the bird, Canary system. That's one of the things that we have on our unit. Yeah, it is a burglar alarm. It's actually meant for people to put it in their house, but it works just great in a vehicle as well. It's a live camera. And that's the part that we're most interested in, because it gives you a live audio and video feed of what's going on inside the RV. And something else I really like about the Canary is it gives you the temperature monitor. You know, the temperature monitor shows you what the inside temperature is. That's important, because should the air conditioner go while you're in a warm climate or turn off, and you've got a pet in there, you know, it can get dangerously hot without that air on. So we like to monitor that and always know. If we're going out for dinner, you know, you leave the dog in the RV and you're just in a restaurant, but you want to make sure. So I have that fired up whenever we leave it, and I can go online and look. It also has a loud alarm, and it will detect motion if somebody breaks in. It works with an app on your smartphone over a Wi-Fi system. So you do need an internet connection and a Wi-Fi system. I use the Verizon data card, the Jetpack, so I always have Wi-Fi in our vehicle. And you can go on Road Trek and you can see a video we did about it. It just was up a couple of weeks ago, so search for Canary. But in the caller's case, I think I would recommend something else to you, since you're really looking for something that will handle all of the, you know, your questions and concerns about somebody breaking in with a loud noise. And I would recommend something called Simply Safe. You may have heard them advertised. This is a really nice and I think very high-end burglar alarm system. I have it in my house. It is so easy to install. It's a do-it-yourself system, and don't let that intimidate you. It literally take you 5 minutes to set it up. And in an RV, maybe not even that long. It really works well. It has a motion detector alarm. It has a glass breaking alarm. It has window sensors, door sensors. And again, you install the Simply Safe system yourself. It's very easy. And what I like about it is if you sell your RV, you can just take it out and put it in another RV. And it does come with a very loud 105 decibel alarm siren. Now, the cost of the Simply Safe system is about $259. The Canary system is about $200. Both of those are meant for home systems. And in the Simply Safe, it's monitored. You can get an option for, you know, I don't know, $20 a month or something to have it monitored by an alarm service for 24/7. You wouldn't do that in our RV. You just want the alarm. So you can check it out. You can get it through Simply Safe itself, the organization, or I found it on Amazon as well. I'll put a link under the show notes page and you can see it. But it's not fun getting broken into.
It isn't. All these systems that we need these days.
Yep.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment. Look on the right side of mikesroadtrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. All three have a great fly and drive program. They'll pick you up from the airport and they'll reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. Then your RV will be fully prepared for travel, complete with full tanks of fuel and propane. Dan the Van Man offers up some specials for us.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, we're going to have our spring sales event, March 31st through April 2nd. Going to have some great deals. Some of our factory reps will be here to answer questions. We're also going to have a great special on our Zion. We have it stock here. Don't miss out on that. Call for the special pricing. We also have some two Road Trek 190 four-wheel drives available with the Eco Trek and Volt Start. You can give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check us out at vancityrv.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. Travel news. Tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle. Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, we've got a couple of stories that have to do with RV dealerships shutting down unexpectedly. One of them was some of our friends down in Florida, Leisure Time RV, down there in Winter Garden, Winter Haven, Florida. Gone. It's going out of business. The company's website, if you go there now, it notes that after 45 years, it's having to close its doors. They're liquidating all of their assets. That's a pretty good time, pretty good opportunity to get some good deals on some of their stuff, by the way. Sad to see that. Just a tough business climate that they're in down there. The company is selling all parts, all of their rolling stock inventory. They're wrapping up any existing service work. They'll take care of their customers. Ken Prentice, who's been a friend on this podcast many times, Ken told RV Daily Report that he expects this whole process will take about 30 or 45 days. And he says it's a result of the trickle-down impact of a variety of problems. He noted that the 2015 Tampa Super Show, the RV show, was a great event, but customer credit issues prevented the closure of a lot of deals through the past year, he says. The dealership is located on 8 acres of property along Highway 50, a few miles west of Orlando, and they've got a lot of big multi-store competitors in the market down there. It's a very competitive market, Florida is, because so many people, you know, winter down there. So it's hard. This has been a mom-and-pop dealership run by the Allen family. Sherry Allen, general manager and comptroller. It's a troubling trend that she thinks will become an even bigger problem unless RV manufacturers do something for the smaller ones. It seems like everything else, it's consolidating. So anyway, sorry to see them go. They're just great people. We really enjoyed our association with them whenever we visited them, and they were very, very nice to us. Leisure Time RV, just west of Orlando there, going out of business. And there's another dealership that went down last week. This one, not quite such good news. This is up in Calgary, and just north of Calgary, Sun Ridge RV filed for bankruptcy in early March. And man, there've been a lot of complaints. Customers haven't known what's happening with their purchases. They put money down. They were waiting for stuff to come in, or they were trading in material units, or some of them had them in there for repair. Last weekend, they started to retrieve the ones in for repair, but there's been some issues there. One couple came 10 hours, took a 10-hour trip to get the trailer that they brought in November and left for winter storage, and they had trouble getting it. Eventually, most of them were released, but a number of folks noted that they had some problems, and some of the units had damage for them, or there were some in for service that were partially taken disassembled, and they are still not assembled. So Anyway, it's a mess. The Better Business Bureau is watching things, but that's north of Calgary in Canada, and it's Sunridge RV filing for bankruptcy. One more story. I like this story. Actually, I got a couple more I want to give you. I'm going to go quick here. Seatbelts. We all talk about how important seatbelts are. Boy, they saved the lives of a Michigan couple when their RV went airborne on I-80 in Iowa the other day. The couple was westbound on Interstate 80. It was they were driving late at night, about midnight Saturday, and they were attempting to pass a semi-trailer truck near the Marnie exit on I-80 there. And for whatever happened, the driver lost control and the RV went into the median where it struck a high spot and it went airborne, landing on a concrete culvert and then coming to rest on its wheels in the median. The family, Joseph Stachowski and his wife, Judy, he's 70, she's 66. They're from Westland, Michigan. They had to be taken by ambulance to a hospital. The State Patrol says they're going to be okay. They were both wearing seat belts and they're injured. But the patrol report from the Iowa State Police indicates that if they did not have their seat belts on, and a lot of RVers for some reason don't wear them when they're in their RV because they're moving around, which they shouldn't be. This family, this couple had them on, and the Iowa State Patrol says that wearing seatbelts saved their lives. So let that be example for you. You know, if you're going to get up just briefly. You're not supposed to do that anyway, but always wear a seatbelt when you're in your RV. One more story. This one I love. This is from one of our favorite national parks, Saguaro National Park in just west there of Tucson. They have the first sighting of desert bighorn sheep spotted there at the Tucson Mountain District of the Saguaro National Park. First time in 6 decades, a motion-triggered camera caught them and confirmed the presence of desert bighorn sheep in the Tucson Mountain District. They were photographed, and you can see it on a link I'll put in the show notes, on March 13th. This is pretty good. The sheep are believed to be from a herd that was in another area northwest of the park, and they crossed a valley that would have that people originally wanted to sever by a proposed interstate highway. Fortunately, that hasn't happened, and as you can see, the animals do move. And wildlife cameras that were purchased with the help of our Friends of the Park group were set up by middle and high school students, and they caught these sheep on camera, and isn't that great? Bighorn sheep, desert bighorn sheep in Saguaro National Park. First time in 6 decades. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know in heat when it comes to your RV. And boy, did we like Aldi yesterday morning. We left Florida. I told you earlier, we got up to just across the Kentucky border, and the temperature dripped down into the upper 30s. And we were asleep. We only were getting about 4 or 5 hours sleep, and we just wanted to sleep. And the Aldi had us so nice and warm. And I had to get up once during that time, and the floor, our heated floors, because of our Aldi hydronic system, oh, it was so nice. Those heated floors, that option is just, we cannot speak more highly of it. It is awesome. The Aldi hydronic system brings so many cool benefits and features that you can't find with traditional RV heating systems. The Aldi hydronic system is silent. It's a radiant heat that gives you a nice, warm, even, natural feeling heat. It's great for pets, great for humans. It's very efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC, and thus it extends the life of your propane about 40% over forced air. Plus, it's quiet. None of that noise, none of that dry air that you get with forced air. You just try it. If you're shopping for an RV, you tell your dealer you want the Aldi heating system. It's in several different manufacturers now, and we cannot speak more highly of it. It is a absolutely awesome group that makes the Aldi system for your RV. The only name you need to know when you're choosing a heating system.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
You know, RVers have a lot of things you got to remember, right? Got to remember what we clean, what we do maintenance on, when we do it, and then packing lists, all that stuff. So I sat around and I thought about there, and I figured there has to be an app for it, right? There's an app for everything. And I found several apps that I think can be very easily adapted for RVers to keep track of things that are going on. Very easily, these will manage your task. They'll help you choose the things that you need to do on the road and in camp and when. So let me give you three of them. Again, this will all be linked in the show notes. So if you're driving, as many of you are when you listen to this podcast, don't worry about it unless you've got a passenger who can write it down. I'll put a link on the show notes page, roadtrekking.com/8080. So the first app is called Cleaning Checklist. And it's really a checklist that's meant for like spring cleaning and stuff like that. But it really will work great for an RV. It's a very simple, very straightforward app that lets you write down and manage whatever tasks you want to complete. So you can mark off items as they're completed. The best thing about it is how easy it is to add new items. It's 99 cents, and it's available for iOS. Another iOS app you might want to look at is called Home Routines. And it's great for the same things and maybe even a few more. Now, it says home routines, but you could just substitute RV routines because the app lets you assign tasks into zones, making it easy to focus on specific areas at the same time. Now, the app is set up, you could set it up like, you know, bedroom, kids' bedroom, master bedroom, bathroom, guest bathroom, whatever. But why not do this for an RV? So you could set up like a packing zone, pre-trip packing zone, a pre-drive zone. Things you got to do before you put the vehicle in gear, setup zone for when you get into camp. You can set up a maintenance zone. It's all focused around the things that whatever area that you want to perform these tasks in. Anyway, you'll see the usefulness, and it will even give you reminder notifications of when you got to do stuff. You can mark off the tasks real easy, you know, on checklists, and then they reset automatically, so you can reuse it whenever you want. Check it out. That's two is for Apple and iOS. It's $4.99. That's the cost of that app. And for you Android users, you could look at any, there's probably a lot of different apps that'll do task management, but I think one that would work for RVers and do the same thing is called the Smart Task Manager Pro. Cost is $4.70 for that app, and it does everything we've talked about that the others can that do. It can be very customizable, so you can make lists and tasks and designate them for however. So there you go. How's that? Pretty handy stuff, and it's great. Just take one of those things and make it for your RV, and you just can whip out your smartphone and go through it and not forget stuff. This part of the podcast brought to you by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network, more than 112 million retail connections nationwide. All right, so you're getting ready to hit the road. It's almost the travel season again. Well, consider picking up a portable battery pack from Verizon so you can keep your smart devices charged. There's nothing worse than getting into that dreaded low battery alert, you know, zone when you're relying on your smartphone or your tablet to get directions or stream music or take photos. Now, these devices, I've got a couple of them, will eliminate the fear of battery failure and keep your devices powered up during your excursions. First one is the LifeProof Free Power Case. LifeProof Free Power Case was made for travel. It acts as a portable charger, and it keeps your phone protected when mishaps like water damage or cracks could threaten it. Also features auto stop charging. Once your phone reaches 100%, it stops charging, preserves power, and it will let your phone run for a long time. And the other one, I have this one myself, the Mophie Power Station 3X. And it looks like a traditional portable charger on the outside, but it features a Priority Plus charging. So when you need to recharge your battery pack and phone, say at the same time, the power station will prioritize by first charging your phone and then recharging the battery pack. It has dual USB ports, so you can charge two devices simultaneously. Tell you what, just go to your local Verizon retailer. Remember, they've got so many of these retailers around the country, you can't go wrong. 112 million retail connections nationwide. You can check them all out. Your Verizon retailer, they're in cities everywhere. ask them to show you their battery stuff. And don't forget to go to roadtrekking.com/VZW for stories about how technology can enhance your RV experience.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
All right, these are RV shows around the country coming up in the next couple of weeks. As this episode is being released, it is March 23rd, 2016. First one, let's go to Minneapolis and the Minneapolis Convention Center for the Progressive Insurance Northwest Sports Show. Lots of outdoor exhibits there, but also RVs and information about camping, all that stuff. You folks up in Minneapolis, Minnesota may want to check that out. The Convention Center in Minneapolis, the Progressive Insurance Northwest Sports Show, March 30th through April 3rd of 2016. Out west in my favorite state, Montana, Bozeman, Montana, the Great Rockies Sport RV and Boat Show is scheduled from April 1st through the 3rd at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse at Montana State University in Bozeman. And in Michigan, up in Traverse City area, the Grand Traverse City Civic Center in Traverse City, Michigan, Grand Traverse Civic Center, Traverse City, Michigan, the Northwest Michigan Camper and RV Show. It is April 1st through the 3rd at Traverse City. And then one last one, this one in Lafayette, Louisiana. This is at the Acadiana RV and Camping Show event held at the Cajun Field in Lafayette, the Acadiana RV Camping and Show. That's April 10th. Actually, it starts April 8th. April 8th through the 10th at Cajun Field in Lafayette. So those are the RV travel shows that you want to check out.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Okay, this is a trip that Jennifer and I took a couple years ago, and I shared it with some people that we met on the road at a couple of campgrounds. They were asking some of our favorites, and everybody wanted to know more about it. So I'm going to tell you. I've got a link to it on roadtrekking.com/80. That's the page that has the full show notes for this episode. In fact, everything I talked about, there's a link to it. Just go to that page, scroll down. You can click on the link. But this is a trip that travels the Great Lakes shoreline. And Jennifer and I did this a couple of years ago. It's 3,500 plus miles long. Can you believe that? And that's just on the U.S. side. The significance of the Great Lakes is staggering. It's just amazing. It has 1/5 of the world's fresh water supply, 95% of the U.S. supply, 84% of the surface water supply of North America. And if you spread the Great Lakes contents evenly across the continental U.S., the Great Lakes would submerge the country under about 9.5 feet of water. Isn't that amazing? The Great Lakes shoreline is equal to almost 44% of the circumference of the Earth. And Michigan's Great Lakes coast alone, one state, totals 3,288 miles, more than any other state but Alaska. We did a trip, and we did 3,500 miles of it, traveling from basically upstate New York, along Lake Ontario, all the way down Lake Erie, up Lake Michigan, around Lake Superior, and down Lake Michigan, or Lake Huron as well. And I've got links to all those stories. You can go to it. Just follow it on the blog. It's on roadtrekking.com. You'll have no problem finding it. It is pretty cool. Now, last up, I want to talk about the things that we wish we knew, the things that we wish everybody had told us that would have made it easier or helped us set our priorities different as we travel. I did this interview, and again, there's going to probably be some wind noise in this because I recorded it all outside as we were wandering around the big Agri Center in Perry, Georgia over the weekend at the Family Motor Coaches Association. And many of these are Class B owners who we met and got a chance to get to know. And so I decided instead of just socializing, I'd get some work done. And I started asking them all pretty much the same question about what advice do you wish you got when you first started off? So here for about 11 minutes and 47 seconds are some of the folks who offer the tips they think you ought to know about.
Yeah. Okay. Doug and Phyllis Humphreys, and you are relatively new to the RV life, right?
I am very new, and Phyllis is a reborn,
exactly.
Shall we say.
Yeah.
All right, so you just retired.
Yes.
Okay. You got a new one last fall, and you're now out there in it. Give us one of the things that you've learned about the RV life, particularly the small motorhome lifestyle. Something, a tip that you might want to pass along, something that you wish somebody had told you.
Well, I think one of the biggest things is get out there and get using it. The more we use it, the more we fine-tune what actually meets our needs. And also simplifies it, because then you don't have all that other stuff. If you take it and you're not using it, get rid of it. Don't bring it.
Get connected. What do you mean? Well, that's a good one. Don't bring stuff you're not using. What do you mean get connected?
Oh. I'm the one that mentioned that. But we were so excited to come here and meet other folks like us, road trekkers. Because talking to them, we've already picked up a number of things that we didn't realize before. So that's hugely important, and we're going to stay connected. We're logging in on our iPhone names of everybody we've met so far, and we'll continue to do that and stay in touch, because there's just a wealth of information to be had with fellow RVers and particular road trekkers.
So, well, if you have a question, you've got somebody, you know what they have, you can ask them. Yeah, it's a great thing. Keep a track of everybody you meet. Yep.
And then earlier they had us in with a lot of Class A's. Well, you know, Doug asked for, could he use his hammer, a mallet? The guy lifted up his basement door, and he had a workroom under there, just like you would in your own home, in your garage.
Workshop.
He had a whole workshop under there. So, I mean, that's nothing like the kind of lifestyle we do in a road trek.
But if you need something, go to a guy who's got
a Class A.
Exactly.
Sometimes they do come in handy.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I'm Mark Ingebrigtsen from Panama City, Florida.
All right, Mark, you've been out RVing for how long now?
Since the end of May last year. We bought a 2003 used road trek off the street from the state senator or state attorney in Florida. Mm-hmm. And we started listening to you and Jennifer on podcasts.
Great. Let me ask you this. What advice do you wish somebody had given you right at the very start of your RVing life that you can now pass along to somebody else who might be where you were?
I would say, number one, find a RV show. Doesn't matter where they're at. And there you'll be able to see all kinds. And you'll be able to walk inside of them and check out the amenities and decide which ones that you need and that are on your bucket list for must-haves.
Instead of going from dealer to dealer to dealer, do it all in one place.
Right. And go online. I think going online and listening to intelligent individuals like yourself and Jennifer.
Getting this big head here.
Yeah. But, I mean, there you can get ideas about what kind of person you actually are. Are you a Class A person or a Class B person or a Class C? And depending on what you want to do with your RV. We just got back a couple weeks ago from going down to Bradenton to spring training and watching the Pirates play spring camp down there.
Good old Grapefruit League in Florida.
Yeah, and so we are not the type of camper that goes someplace and stays for 2 or 3 weeks. We are the kind of camper that likes to go out and do the serendipity travel that you talk about so much.
I'm doing a seminar tomorrow at this FMCA gathering.
And we'll
And
we'll be there to check it out.
And that is really good. Know what kind of an RVer you are.
Yeah.
Because some people just want to sit and relax.
Yeah.
And there's no point in doing that in a vehicle that's meant to take you places and be very mobile like a Class B.
Yeah, and then also I was watching your videos on how to get along in an RV. I think that's an important point too. With a Class B, you need to have a special relationship. You have to be able to really love each other to get along in those close confines.
Even when that other person isn't quite so loving, right?
Yeah.
Got it. Been there.
So, you know, the 40-foot, you can actually have her go to one end and you be at the other, and there's 30 feet usually between you.
All right, Linda McDonald from Plant City, Florida, but really, that's not where you're from, is it, anymore?
Nope, I'm a full-timer now.
You're a full-timer in a Class B.
Yes.
In a Road Trek Class B. Okay, so...
A 170, the little one.
The small one, but you're all alone, right?
A dog and a cat.
Dog and a cat. What is the one thing that you wish somebody had told you before you started that now you can pass on to somebody else?
I wish I would have had somebody with some technical expertise, because I just bought it without knowing anything. Had never camped before. Didn't really know anything about RVing, period. But I wound up picking the right kind of RV by luck.
And have you had any problems that you wish that, you know, you didn't encounter? I mean, everybody has some, but have you anything you haven't been able to handle?
If I could do it again, I probably would have gone a little bit bigger, but then that means I would just have more stuff.
So talk about that stuff.
Yeah, well, I wanted to simplify my life, so that's why I went with this small little rig that I could take anywhere, go anywhere, do anything, boondock.
How simple is your life now?
Great. I don't have a job anymore.
So what is that life like? Describe that full-time life of running around in an RV doing whatever you want to do.
You know, I've met such great people in this group. I've just really had a great time, and I've learned a lot, and it's just been fantastic. I wish I would have done it sooner.
So maybe that's your advice.
Yes, do it. Just do it.
Whether you know anything about it or not.
Well, there's a lot of knowledgeable people here. If you take advantage of the knowledge, then I think you'll be okay.
Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Exactly.
Go out there and do it.
I second that.
And just enjoy it.
Yes.
And you are, right?
Absolutely.
How long have you been full-timing?
2 months.
2 months. No home?
Nope.
No roots?
Sold it.
Just four tires.
Yep.
And a dog and a cat.
A dog and a cat.
So I'm really excited. I'm with Viola Huntley. And Viola, let me ask you, how old are you? And I hate to ask a lady your age, but there's a reason.
89 years old.
Okay, and the reason I'm asking is because you have something you can teach all of us here. I want to put some perspective in this. How long have you been RVing? When did you start?
In the 1950s.
So for
solo for the last 12 years.
Okay. Let me just unpack that. For 60 years, you have been an RVer. You have seen the industry develop and boom and crash. And for the last 12 years, you're 89 now, you've been doing it all alone.
Yes, sir.
All right. What is the one piece of advice, the one thing you wish somebody shared with you when you were starting off, that now, looking back on this legacy of RV travel that you have done, that you would share with somebody else?
Just open your eyes and look at the country. Don't think of yourself. Just think how wonderful everything you see is.
How many places have you been in this country?
In Alaska and Canada and Mexico and most of the United States. I think I've missed two states. But they're coming up this summer.
They're coming up this summer. Now, you travel alone?
Yes, sir.
At 89?
Yes.
I want to just follow in your footsteps. I mean, I can't believe the things that you've seen. What's the biggest change you've seen in RVing in those 6 decades?
All the people that are doing it. So many people now. Maybe they always did it and I didn't know it because I was working.
Do you ever worry out there alone at 89 years old?
No. No.
Everybody says, but it's you're vulnerable. You're in places where you don't know what's around you.
So what? If a tree falls, it's going to hit me, and so to hit me. I can't be bothered worrying about it.
So your advice is open your eyes and look around.
Right. It's a wonderful country, and every tree, every blade of grass, everything is amazing.
How has RVing changed your life?
How has RVing changed my life?
Yeah.
Well, I enjoy it. I enjoy my life. No responsibilities except myself.
Well, you are a treasure. treasure to the road trekking community because you embody the... No, she's looking, I wish you could all see her face. Her mouth's open. She's going, give me a break, buddy. But seriously, that is a lot of miles. How many miles do you think you've traveled?
Well, since I got road treks, this is my second road trek. I had over 100 on my first one, 100,000. And I've got 46 on this one. It's 2 years old.
You do drive a lot. You do. Where are you going this year?
Well, like going to Albuquerque. I know of Springfield, Massachusetts.
That will be in the summer. We'll all be up there. That's another big thing. Tallahassee.
The only reason I come back to Florida is because my doctors are here.
That's great. Well, God bless you, Viola. Okay, we're with Sherry Targum. She is the president of Road Trek International, which is the second largest chapter of the Family Motor Coach Association. And we're at the Family Motor Coach Association Family Reunion in Perry, Georgia. Sherry, I've been asking everybody this question. What's the one piece of advice that you wish somebody had given you when you were first starting off that you can share now with a newbie?
Follow your heart, but think with your brain. Drive safely, stay healthy, and have fun.
Follow your heart, but think with your brain. Amplify on that a little bit for me.
Okay. I want you to follow your heart in seeing the country. We have a beautiful country. You don't need to leave it. Stay off the big roads. Follow the small, little beaten paths, because you'll see much more in the country than anywhere else. The highways are, if you need to go from one place to another in a short period of time, great. Otherwise, take the parallel roads, not the highways.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road trekking.
I like that. Take the parallel roads, the small ones, the two-laners. Thanks to Sherry Targum and all the people we talked to at the FMCA gathering last week in Perry, Georgia. That was a lot of fun. Those are great tips that they've all offered you, stuff that if you had heard early on, maybe would have made your RVing even more special all the time. So learn from them. Hey, thank you so much. That ends this episode of the RV Podcast. We have so enjoyed your time putting us in your ear. If we can ever help you, just do me a favor and drop us a note. Let us know. There's a contact link from the roadtrekking.com blog, or you can also leave that voicemail message. Till next week, I'm Mike Wendland. On behalf of my wife and traveling companion, Jennifer, let me just say this. See you out there, road trekking.